11 years after the terrorist attacks of September 11th, the 9/11 memorial on the site of the World Trade Center towers has opened. But an alternative history is imagined in the new novel, The Submission, by former New York Times journalist and first-time novelist Amy Waldman. The book takes place in 2003, 2 years after the devastation of the World Trade Center. A carefully appointed jury votes on the anonymous entries for the design of a memorial at Ground Zero. The final choice is between the void and the garden. The jury chooses the garden, but then they quickly realize the architect is Muslim. Waldman explores in fictional form many of the tensions that in recent years have become the stuff of daily headlines. Amy Waldman will be coming to the State University of New Paltz as part of their Distinguished Speakers Series on November 1st at 7:30 p.m., and it's a great pleasure to welcome Amy Waldman to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We talked when the book first came out, and it's a pleasure to have you back. One book, one New Paltz has chosen The Submission as their 2012 community read. What do you think it is about this book that makes it such a good book for a community to hash over?
I think there's something about fiction that can make it easier to talk about and argue and think through things that in nonfiction, you know, readers might tend to harden their own viewpoints a little bit or be resistant. But I think something about fiction and a compelling story and characters you can both relate to and judge at the same time just maybe gives people more of a way in. And I think also, you know, in writing the book, I really try to avoid taking a position or coming down anywhere. And I really try to do that for the reader as well. You know, you have to move through these six different characters. So as a result, I think readers, at least the ones I've encountered, find it very challenging in that sense, because even if they think they know what they believe, they often find it harder to stick with that position or find themselves sympathetic for another position. So that gives people a lot to talk about.
How did you come to the story initially?
Initially, it was through a conversation with a friend. We were actually talking, about the 9/11 memorial competition, but then also started talking about Maya Lin when she was selected to design the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. And one piece of the controversy when she was first picked was about the fact that she was Asian American. Obviously now her design is seen as unparalleled, really, but it just got me thinking, what would the rough parallel be for September 11th? And I thought it would be if an American Muslim won, and given where the country was and is even, that would actually be a much bigger deal.
Did we learn from that experience, from the Maya Lin experience, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. I've never really tried to research the reason that this competition was not completely anonymous, the 9/11 memorial competition. So I don't know if that was partly an effort to have a little more control over who the winner was, although, and I think Maya Lin herself has said that if the competition was not anonymous when she was picked, she doesn't know if it would be. I mean, I think the lesson of that, and this is something I was very interested in the novel, is how important the process of hashing these things out is. And I think the arguments that happened around her memorial and what were we memorializing were actually very important for the country to have, and then a memorial that really brought people together because it was so powerful and effective. So I think if we did learn from that, maybe it was that it's important to actually have the arguments at some point in the process.
One of the things that I found interesting, obviously you have a journalistic background, but you didn't want to be too much of a journalist in this, did you?
No, I didn't. And I really, you know, I decided not to go out, for example, and seek out people who had lost someone on 9/11 to interview, because I felt like, partly as a journalist, I'm so trained to be faithful to the facts, and I wouldn't feel comfortable taking someone's story and then distorting it in the ways that I was free to in fiction. And I also just felt like I needed to be free to imagine, and that's harder to do when you have someone in your head that you're worried about how they're going to read or respond to the book. So I almost needed the isolation of fiction, of writing fiction on my own.
In that isolation of writing fiction, you obviously, though, in some way are influenced by what is going around you, an understanding of what was happening at that time.
Yes, definitely. I really, even as I'm writing fiction, I'm paying attention to the news all the time, and of course the news actually caught up to my novel at one point when the controversy
right.
around
the mosque.
Proposed mosque near Ground Zero happened. But even before that, there had been a controversy in Pennsylvania around the memorial there for Flight 93, which crashed on September 11th, and there were some people who said that the design by an architect from Los Angeles, because it was a crescent, was actually Islamic in nature, and there was a big fight around this, and the design was ultimately modified to a circle. So I really tried to study controversies like that just to get a sense of the tenor of the arguments, the emotions, the divisions between people. So all of that is really helpful to me in writing fiction.
The conflict of principle and emotion is something that you explore. What is so interesting about that to you?
What was interesting to me is in this decade or so now since September 11th, I felt like there was a gap often between what people thought they should feel and what they actually felt deep down underneath. And especially liberals in terms of wanting to say that everybody is equally an American and so on, and yet this kind of fear and confusion and mistrust about both what Islam is and who attacked us on September 11th, and just watching that sort of bleed into attitudes towards Muslim Americans sometimes, or attitudes towards, how the government responded to September 11th. And so it really was trying to explore what's deep inside that we're not always acknowledging. And it's been really interesting since the book came out, because I've gotten letters from quite a few people saying, you really got me to think about things and feelings that I was not admitting to. And it's, I think it's just people seemed almost relieved by that, to be able to be more honest with themselves about some of their fears and suspicions and so on.
One of the themes in the book seems to be trust, of who to trust and when to trust them.
Definitely. And that just became more and more interesting to me as I worked on the book, and still interests me, frankly. And really the idea of faith in the non-religious sense, although faith in the religious sense also factors in the book to a certain extent, but in the non-religious sense, how often deciding whether to trust someone is a question of faith, because you can't always know everything about someone. You don't always, as we interact with our fellow humans, you don't always understand why people are acting the way they are. And without access to their deepest thoughts, how do you decide whom to trust and why? And so that question really animates the novel in a lot of ways.
Did you know from the beginning how you wanted to end this? Especially since the story, in the real sense, continues. It's going on.
Mm-hmm. I didn't. And frankly, one reason I wanted to write the novel after I had the idea was to see what would happen, because I kept thinking, okay, I can imagine this guy winning this competition, this American Muslim architect, but I have no idea what the outcome would be. And so it was only as I started working on it, and I'd say a couple of years into the writing, really, did I start to get a sense of what the ending might be. And that was based a lot on who the characters were and how they were interacting, and the fact that the character itself, not just politics, became very much part of the story. Including Muhammad Khan, the winner, and just the nature of his temperament and personality and how he interacts with everybody else. And so starting to see kind of how these relationships worked, then the ending almost came organically out of that.
You touched on this earlier, but I'm interested in going back to explore a little bit further, and that is why we connect so much with memorials. What is it that is so important about a memorial, about this memorial, about the Vietnam Memorial that you mentioned earlier? What is it about memorials that we need in our process of grieving and understanding and educating?
I think it's a few things, and I have thought a lot about this, not just in writing the book, but even since it's come out. And I think one thing memorials do is just the having a physical place to go and, grieve and pay homage to people is very important. I've thought a lot about how literature itself can work as a memorial or counter-memorial even, but the thing it's missing is that sense of physical place. And it's I think those places are as much about people gathering there as the place themselves. You're gathering with strangers almost to say, we share this, we share this grief, we share this mourning. And so I think that is very important. And then I think there's this the process of kind of achieving consensus around what kind of symbol physically can represent this event or this loss. Again, it's very important, and it is about consensus on some level. And, you know, the danger is you kind of wipe out individual experiences and interpretations, but you do create, I think, some social, you know, unity around the idea of this is what we experience. And it's partly just about recording our own history. I mean, what's interesting is that so many memorials, if you walk around New York, for example, nobody pays any attention to them anymore. You don't even know what they represent. And so I used to think, oh, we do memorials for the future. People in the future will know what we've been through. And I actually now think that we really do them for ourselves. It's just part of the process of dealing with whatever happened, healing from it, if that's possible, and maybe deluding ourselves that people in the future will care as much as we did, and that's important to us.
With that said, and without getting into the overt politics of it, what does it say then that here we are 11 years after 9/11 and that site is still a construction site? There is a memorial, but a museum that's been on hold for a very long time, still building going on. I mean, is there a time where it becomes too late?
Oh, I don't think it becomes too late. And if anything, I mean, you could almost argue that they were too quick to try to do a memorial, given that we were still really working through not just what happened, but kind of what it means in our history, how we'll look back on it. So I don't know if it's too late. I mean, I think in terms of the overall site, what it says is that any real estate deal or project in New York, even one that is so tied up with our emotional life and has so many people's, you know, individual grief wrapped around it, is still just a bureaucratic and political nightmare. I mean, that's really a lot of what's happened with the overall site. You know, the museum is interesting. I'm just looking at the incredible challenge they have about how to present this history. And I think that, again, you know, I'm not sure we know quite how to think about it yet. And we haven't really reached a consensus. And I think that's, you know, there's financial roadblocks and so on. But I also think that's a very tricky question they're still wrestling with.
Amy Waldman will be coming to the State University of New York at New Paltz as part of their Distinguished Speaker Series on November 1st to discuss her novel, The Submission. The event takes place at 7:30 p.m. You can find out more information by going to newpaltz.edu. newpaltz.edu. A book signing and reception will follow the event. A reminder, One Book, One New Paltz has chosen The Submission as their 2012 community read, and a series of events and conversations based on Waldman's novel are scheduled throughout the month of November. Amy Waldman, a great pleasure as always to speak to you. Thank you very much, and we look forward to having you in New Paltz.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Again, Amy Waldman is the author of The Submission. You can find out more information about her event on November 1st by going to newpaltz.edu. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.